Now I'll teach a little regarding the true path and with respect to virtuous activities. And in this regard, don't be reckless, don't lose one's intention, apply yourselves, bring one's mind to calm abiding, and then listen to the mantras, meditate, recite the mantras. If you're reciting the Sutra of Great Liberation, recite it emitting sound. And then what happens when it's time to practice? For some people, they have all of these negative emotions that arise, or they find it difficult to practice. They lie in bed and it's difficult for them to get up. As soon as it's time to practice or meditate, they find all kinds of different reasons that are much more important than attaining liberation. And then as soon as they meditate, then they start thinking of something else that is very important. When they're not meditating, there's nothing that is important. However, as soon as they start meditating, oh, this is important, that is important, and another thing is even more important. This is called the sickness of obstacles, karmic obstacles. Let go of these obstacles. This whole life of ours, we've been thinking about these things, doing these things. And so now when it's time to meditate, have the mind that I am going to let go of all of these other important things. The only thing that I will engage in is the Dharma that will help me attain liberation or enlightenment. This is what's going to help me the most when I'm facing death. This is what's going to be the most beneficial. Now, this most important work that I have to do, I'm going to do it now. And whenever some great desire or karmic obstacle arises, then definitely use whatever one can to transform it into practice. We see, as soon as we start to meditate, there are so many important things. And then as soon as we stop meditating, oh, nothing's important anymore. These are karmic obstacles. It's not our practice that we must let go of. It's these negative thoughts and negative obstacles that we must let go of. And then after you've meditated or practiced meditation or recited the mantras for an hour or 2 hours, then you'll suddenly find, oh, that important task that I thought was so important wasn't important at all. These are our biggest karmic sicknesses. We do this again and again and again. And then as soon as we settle down to practice, immediately again, this big task arises. This important thing that has to be done. This is the biggest obstacle to our meditative practice. These are what we call inner demons or inner obstacles. These affect and influence our practice and our meditation. Outer, inner, secret. This is an inner demon or obstacle that has arisen. And when this happens, then we know that there is this obstacle, this demon that is blessing us, not allowing us to practice or attain liberation. When this happens, let go of this inner demon. Instead, I'll pray to my guru. It doesn't matter what or how many arising thoughts arise, even if my parents come before my very eyes from the bardos, I will not be affected and I will not break my meditation, my practice, and make this kind of aspiration when practicing the great perfection. One of my parents may have passed away for many years and starts calling me. I won't be moved from my meditative practice. I won't be moved from my concentration. Make this kind of aspiration. No matter what happens, I'm not going to be moved from this practice. If you have such a great aspiration, then it doesn't matter what inner demons arise, what important tasks there are to do or other influences there are. It's not going to affect us when we are practicing or distract us or disturb us from our practice. However, if we are all scattered and distracted and not applying ourselves and not doing the 7 points of Arasana, the 9 Buddha breaths, not praying to the root guru, then as soon as we start practicing, then these inner demons, obstacles arise and pull us away from our practice. Then very quickly, our mind is very disturbed. And if you're meditating and you really find it difficult to practice today, then change the way that you're practicing. Maybe recite some sutras or recite mantras. And if that's not working, then, oh, I will listen to the teachings of the guru just as long for this 1 hour of practice we really practice. For this hour, for this 2 hours, I'm really going to generate merit. Irrespective of whether I'm meditating or reciting mantras or reading sutras, repenting, I definitely am not going to leave empty-handed after this. After this 2-1 hour of practice, as long as for this time of practice, we really perfectly, very well apply ourselves in practice and make aspirations like this and persist like this. Be disciplined and diligent and put it into action. What happens to so many of us as soon as we start to practice? Oh, my head is sore, my knee is sore, my hip is sore. And then when you're not practicing, nothing hurts at all. Go to work, come back from work, that whole time, not one pain. But as soon as we sit down to practice, then all of the karmic obstacles suddenly appear. If you don't apply yourself and work conscientiously, then what is going to happen when you are facing death? If you're not able to handle a little bit of pain in your leg or your hip, then how are you going to handle the pains and sufferings of the Abhihels or the Vajrahels that are spoken about by Buddha or by Manjushri? The problem is, we don't have patience. We don't consider our future possibility of great, great samsaric suffering. All we're thinking about is, oh, I have to do this practice. I have to do 100,000 of these practices. This is painful. That is painful. This is uncomfortable. You carry on like this. How are you going to be successful in your practice? You must persist and be diligent and continue in your practice. And if we do, then we really are somebody who can attain liberation or enlightenment in this lifetime. We have the merit. We have this opportunity. Sadly, we are too concerned with all of these insignificant, unimportant concerns, with too many little things. The next time your knee or your hip is paining, just think of the suffering of the hell beings. Continue your practice. Don't break one's practice. Meditate. If you can't meditate, recite mantras or recite the sutras. And in your daily life, recite more mantras. Recite the Heart Sutra or the 100-syllable mantra of Vajrasattva. Recite Om Mani Padme Hum. Then when you're on the road, you're not going to generate negative karma of speech. Why is it that we engage in negative karma of speech? Because we don't have the right mindfulness and awareness to recite mantras. Notice these followers, these students. What are they doing from when they wake up, when they're eating, until they go to sleep? They are reciting mantras. Why? Because if they don't, then maybe they engage in negative karma of speech. Listen to some people sitting there speaking ga 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 the whole day speaking. Why? Because they're not reciting mantras. They're not maintaining the right mindfulness and awareness. When we're reciting mantras, we can purify our mind stream, generate merit. Reciting mantras is also practice, and it purifies our negative karma. Otherwise, people are sitting there talking about this. What did you do today? What did you do tomorrow? What are you going to eat today? What am I going to eat today? Definitely recite mantras. Recite the Heart Sutra of Vajrasattva, of Avalokitesvara, of Amitabha. And at the same time that we are reciting mantras, we're purifying our mind stream and we're not engaging in negative karma of speech. If you really observe your body, speech, and mind, then you really are a very good practitioner. And all of your merits will be accumulated. Just the problem is, we haven't observed our mind stream. And then, once we have given rise to this habit, then it's not going to be so difficult for us to be able to observe this. Think about our attachment, our aversion, our ignorance. We become so used to them, just naturally, we apply them in our daily life. And so we can apply the same principle in terms of our practice. Remember, for every day that we are alive, we must accumulate merit for every one of those days. If we don't do any merit or accumulate merit, then really that one day of our life has had no blessing. Otherwise, what do? For 12 hours of the day, 24 hours of the day, we're just accumulating negative karma. Everybody is able to do this, that for a few hours every day we can accumulate merit. The mistake many of us make is that we think that all of this merit is an external appearance, We think, oh, there are so many people together. Of course, this is also a type of merit. True merit is when someone can purify their own mind stream, repent their negative karma, and then practice and give rise to bodhicitta towards sentient beings, and to give rise to faith in the three jewels and one's guru. And this is true merit. And all of this merit we practice, we realize through our three doors. And this we don't have to tell anybody about. As long as we accumulate merit, it always stays with us within our mind stream. Positive actions bring about positive results. Negativity brings about negative results. Everyone, pay attention to this. And then once practice becomes part of practice and practice becomes a part of life, and then finally, no matter what you do in life, it becomes an accumulation of merit. Doing our job, we can accumulate merit. When we are on our own, we can benefit sentient beings. We can generate merit. We can perform animal liberations, make great aspirations. And then your work is also the activity of the Buddha Dharma. And then, no matter what you're doing, whether it is work, whatever thought arises, as long as you can transform it into bodhicitta, it all becomes a part of practice. I'm going to eat well so that I'm healthy and so that I can meditate well. I'm going to sleep on time and wake up a little bit earlier so that I can practice. Then all of this as well becomes part of merit, eating and sleeping the same. Work, all of it becomes merit. However, if we don't support or transform whatever's happening with bodhicitta, then it may become the source of negative karma. Rather, use bodhicitta and wisdom and very consciously observe, be aware that whatever thought arises, that we transform it into bodhicitta. Afflictions transformed into bodhicitta. When it arose, it was an affliction. However, transforming it with bodhicitta, it now becomes merit. Before, work was just a means to exist, to live. Now, with the transformation of bodhicitta, it becomes bodhidharma activities, the accumulation of merit. Don't confuse this. Any negative thought or negativity, don't engage in it. Avoid it. Don't participate. Be very careful in this regard. Whatever thought arises, whether positive or negative, if it is negative, becomes the seed for us ending up in the hell realms or suffering. And any positive thought will become the merit that will help us to attain enlightenment. Bring your mind to calm abiding, and then you will see very clearly what you are practicing. When we started practicing, we might not have noticed this. However, as our practice improves, when a negative thought arises, we're very clear about this. And a positive thought arises, we are also very clear about it. It may be that when we first start practicing, when a positive or negative thought arises, we're not clear at all. Never mind being able to see how quickly it arose or how it arose. However, when we continue practicing, then definitely we will be able to see very clearly what thoughts are arising. And then when our state of realization has improved, we will be able to do this without any difficulty at all. However, if we don't watch these thoughts, it may happen that they become actions, that we shout at people, beat people, moan at people. However, through practice, we will see, oh, these thoughts of mine are already becoming actions. And then correction. What might happen is we might only notice when they have become actions. And those subtle thoughts, we won't have an opportunity to observe. And the only way to do this is first bring our mind home, to bring our mind to calm abiding. And then this, in this very calm state of calm abiding, then we will very easily be able to notice, transform, control, master these arising thoughts and be able to do it very easily. And this is the merit of practice. And there will be an increase in wisdom and in meditative concentration and realization and in meditative state of mind. And very easily, we will be able to distinguish the differences between the thoughts and we will be able to realize our own practices. And the more we practice, the easier it becomes. The more happiness we have, the more cherishing, the more faith we have, and we reduce our negative karma more and more, and so we become healthier, and within our mind we have much more belief, and we cherish every day and are pure. And in all of these respects, we pay more attention. And this a little about the true path, the main practice. And be conscientious and complete one's practices like this.